I hope you had a good time of communion. I want to talk a little bit, not specifically communion, but one of the things communion does. Communion is a word that is very close to the word community. They're both words about relationship. Communion is a relationship with both each other and with God. It's an action, a ritual, a discipline that we do as Christians. We call it communion. Other denominations call it Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. And it's where we get to be in community with each other and with God. And we break bread and we drink some juice because it's a meal. When we share food together, something different changes in our lives. So with that, today I want to talk to you a little bit about food. I want to share with you just, well, in fact, in the Bible, if you did a quick word search on the word food, just like a word study in the Bible of food or things that are related to food, it is referenced in the Bible over 1,800 times. Like, food is an important part of our daily lives, so the Bible talks a lot to us about food. And when you look at Jesus, in his story in the Gospels, Jesus was known as someone who loved to eat. He was always going to different dinners with people. And the Bible says that the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Kind of a fun verse. In fact, the Pharisees accused him of eating and drinking too much with the wrong people. So Scripture says that a man shall not eat of bread alone. You heard that verse before? But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so today I want to dive into God's word. I want to read in the Bible. And if you're ready, would you turn to your neighbor right now and say, "Let's eat." Yeah, I want to give us some participation today. Grab your Bibles and open them up and turn with me to Luke chapter 7, where we'll see this narrative, this story where a religious leader invites Jesus over to dinner. Okay, Luke chapter 7. You with me there? Now, let me set this up. Now, this Pharisee, he was the kind of person that knew everything. He knew the law. He knew the rules. He invited Jesus over to dinner. And while they were having dinner, while he was over at this Pharisee's place, there was this sinful woman. We'll put it that way. She hears that Jesus is coming. So she comes and crashes the party. She sits down and she creates this scene, this scenario. She causes a stir. She falls at the feet of Jesus and starts to cry. And she starts to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. And then she dries those tears with her hair. And she takes this jar of perfume and she pours it out on Jesus' feet. This woman, in the middle of this dinner party, creates this big scene. She wasn't supposed to be there. And at this exchange, this interaction, it causes a stir. It's scandalous. And people are just watching, shocked. A woman who had experienced the pain and the shame of her guilt, of her sins, and she comes out and out of gratitude, she treats Jesus with the highest level of hospitality that you could possibly show in that day. And so right at that moment, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus over to dinner sees this is where we pick up our story in Luke chapter 9. Or chapter 7, verse 39. Luke chapter 7, verse 39. Here we go. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." And then Jesus answered his thoughts. I want to repeat that. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you." Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. And then Jesus told him this story. "A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? And Simon answered. It's almost like a light bulb turned on in his mind. I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. I tell you her sins, and there are many. There are many, but they have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. You see, the woman, she shared her pain through her tears. Can everybody say that? Pain. There's a lot of pain in our world today. And this woman, she shared her pain. The Pharisee saw her and judged her. And after hearing what Jesus said about the debts, canceling those debts, his perspective, everybody say perspective. His perspective shifted. And if we jump down to verse 50, it says this. Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Can everyone say peace? I don't know about you, but I need some peace in my life. I could sure use some peace right now. There's so much chaos, so much craziness. I need some peace. I've preached this story before, and I've heard it preached many times, and maybe you know this story quite well. You've heard it before, and it focuses on the grace that Jesus gives, the forgiveness of sins, the outpouring of this woman's praise. And all of that is accurate. But when I read the scriptures this time around, I saw something just a little bit different, something, one of the minor plots in the story. And I want to share this with you today, just a little different perspective than we normally come at this. Our story has three characters in it. We've got the Pharisee, the sinful woman, and then Jesus. Three characters. The Pharisee, wow, man, I've got it all together. I know the law. I follow the rules. I'm better than everyone else. The Pharisee. And then we've got this sinful woman who really recognizes her sin and her shame. She knows it. She's broken outwardly. She expresses it. And we have these two very different people from two very different walks of life, with two very different perspectives. And then we have our third character, Jesus. In the middle of this interaction, he comes and he tells both of them basically the same thing. I came for both of you because you're both sinners in need of grace. So in this encounter, Jesus interacts with both of them, and then he really tells them that I'm here for you, and he changes their perspectives. He changes the way that the woman sees herself, and he changes the way that the Pharisee understands grace and forgiveness. And all of this happens over a meal. It happens over dinner. It all happens around some food. So today I want to talk about this because something special happens when we break bread together. You see, you and I, we're not designed for isolation. We're created for connection. We're wired to be connected together. And you know this. You feel it inside of you. You need other people in your life. And one of the best ways that we can experience that type of connection is over a meal. Over a meal. Now, I'm going to try something different. Stretch myself a little bit. Let's see if I can do two things at the same time. I've never done this before, but let's pretend there's a cooking show. Right? Yan can cook. I know I'm not Asian. In our house, I don't do much of the cooking. My wife is gracious. If I was in charge of cooking, we would all be hungry, and then there would be French fries coming out of the oven. And that would be supper every day, because I don't think about cooking food until I'm hungry. But I wake up in the morning, and I love making breakfast. Breakfast is one of my favorite meals, and I am really good at cooking breakfast. One of the few talents that I do in the kitchen. Now, for breakfast here, I've got some wonderful things. I've got some potatoes. Who eats potatoes for breakfast? Right, the classic cowboy breakfast, eggs and bacon and hash browns. Well, I want to start today by making us some hash browns. And I hope, my prayer with all of this is that I make you hungry today. So I've cubed these up. We've got this awesome little, I bought it for Lisa, and I'm the one who uses it. It's a little squisher, and it makes awesome cubes. And what I want to do is, well, every good breakfast starts with a chunk of butter, right? You need some butter. The best way to eat hash browns is when they're deep fried. And this is a little science thing, actually. If you deep fry in oil, the oil has moisture in it, and the oil will make your potatoes stick to the pan, because the moisture in there reacts with the moisture in the potatoes. But if you use butter instead, the moisture in the butter is actually made out of fat, and the fat doesn't evaporate in the same way, and your potatoes won't stick in the pan. Okay, we'll mix this up a bit. Hopefully my handle doesn't get too hot. We want to deep fry these wonderful potatoes in here. Now, potatoes, they're a carbohydrate. They fill you up. They give you energy. They're rich in vitamin C, which is an antioxidant. Potatoes, if you know them, they're a life-saving vegetable. Like, they have enough vitamin C in them that they can prevent scurvy. And another major nutrient in potatoes is potassium. It's an electrolyte that aids in the workings of our heart, our muscles, our nervous system. Potatoes have become a staple crop all over the world, and in most countries, and it has all the essential nutrients that your body needs. But the only thing that potatoes are lacking is protein. It's protein. And this is where the eggs come in. I'm not going to stick them in there yet because we need to have these potatoes mostly cooked. But eggs are a protein. A large egg contains about 6 grams of protein. And eggs are good for your eyes. They reduce the risk of heart disease and strokes. And potatoes and eggs, they're eaten all over the world. You go almost anywhere and you can see eggs and potatoes eaten in some form or fashion. And each of those things are good on their own. But when you combine them together, something amazing, something unique happens. When you bring those two together, eggs and potatoes, in a meal, you get something that they call it a complete protein. And it builds our muscles. It brings strength. It creates all the 9 essential amino acids that we need for good human health. By themselves, potatoes are good. By themselves, eggs are good. But together, they are something even greater, even stronger. Now, I'm going to add some more things into here, but we're going to let this simmer for a little bit. Let me put it on low. Can you smell it yet? I know you can hear it. Oh, let's take that off. Let's let that simmer for a moment. When you follow Jesus, he takes your uniqueness, your individuality. Maybe you're more like a potato, one of those starchy people. Or maybe you're like the egg and you just love to run all over the place. And God, well, God takes your individuality and your uniqueness, your own experiences, and he brings people together in your life with their uniquenesses, their individualities, their experiences. And what he does is he brings you together to make you better, to make you stronger. So it's you and it's me together. Together to make a full meal, together to accomplish something greater. And in that, we need Jesus, the master chef, the cook that puts it all together, that makes it united to make it into the meal it's supposed to be. So today, as we talk about eggs and potatoes and Jesus, I want to share this life with you. Last week was Thanksgiving, and I know in my house, one of the best parts of that holiday meal is eating. Like we love the meal together, a chance to gather and celebrate and talk about the blessings of the last year, to be thankful with God and what he has provided for us. And we celebrated this Thanksgiving Day by gathering around a meal. And I want you to hear this. Biblical community, being around other Christ followers, is so important for you. And we know this because we've seen the effects of what happens when we don't get together, when we're isolated from other believers. And we noticed it in the pandemic, and we saw the desolation and really the impact that this isolation had on us. And it's so important for you to understand this. Pastoring is full of challenges. And one thing that I consistently see almost every day is I see this crippling isolation. I see increased separation and ongoing division and people that are going through painful moments all by themselves. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen a family who wasn't able to be there for their loved one. I can't tell you how many people are feeling deep pain and they're going through it by themselves with this increased separation. This thought that I'm better off alone. There's conflict here, so I'm going to be somewhere else because then the conflict, the pain will go away. I don't need others, this ongoing division. It's this mindset that others are a threat, and it's happening. I see it. Longtime friendships ending over stupid little things, over sometimes even some hard things. You know, we see marriages ending in divorce because you think, I'm just better off alone, this ongoing division. You see, the truth is that our enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ came so that we would have life, and we would have life to the fullest. And that's the good news. The good news that God wants you to have a life to the fullest. So he wants you to experience the fullness of life by finding your right people to walk alongside of you. This is your family. This is your tribe. This is your crew. However you want to name it, these are the people. The ones in this room are the ones that God has called you to walk with and called them to walk with you in this life. And we've talked about it, but when you plant yourself in this group of people, there's three different things that happen. The first one is that you learn to pass the salt. Now, if you know anything about potatoes, potatoes are my least favorite food. I find them, they're bland. They're about as boring as food gets. And so what you do to potatoes is you put some salt in it. These are salt and a whole bunch of other spices. They're my specialty. They make potatoes amazing. Whatever they add to them with all of the different garlics and salts and things like that, they make the taste of this into something better than it was before. The first thing that you learn when you're in community, when you're planted in this group of people, is you learn to pass the salt. Could you say that? Pass the salt. Salt makes things taste good. Your food needs some salt in it. You pass the salt. I know my grandfather did it at the table. We would sit at the table and everybody would get their food, and before he tasted anything, he'd say, "Hey, could you pass the salt?" And he didn't have to stand up and reach over the table because we're all there. We just get to pass the salt around the table until Granddad had the salt to put on his meal. Salt makes things taste good. And when you mix salt with water with just the right solution, it actually has a lot of healing properties. And ladies, I know you know what I'm talking about, right? An Epsom salt bath at the end of a hard day, that feels good. And salt has a lot of healing properties, and it can bring health and healing. And the reality that we face every day is that there is pain in life. We're all feeling some kind of pain right now. We will all go through difficult seasons. We all experience deep hurts in our lives. And when we go through the hard times, it's the people that we surround ourselves with to help us get through it. We cling to Jesus, and they hold us up in prayer and look after us. And if any of you have gone through this kind of difficult season, maybe it was a serious sickness in your family, then you know what it's like when your family, your friends, your church family, they just pour love all over you. They show up with meals, they clean your house, they sit with you while you cry. And the experience brings you closer together. It's interesting too that sometimes when you meet someone who's had the same kind of painful experience you've had, it's like you get this instant bond with them. Right? Like the other day there was a guy at my door, he had his clipboard, I can't even remember what he was trying to sign me up for. But he had a limp shoulder, and it was very obviously separated. And I was like, "Hey, I've got a separated shoulder too. Like mine happened from a mountain biking accident. Remember, Tim?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, mine wasn't that crazy. I slipped on the sidewalk in the ice. Like I don't have a good story to share about it." And instantly, we had this connection. My car broke down in Saskatchewan, a million miles away from anything. "Oh, mine happened too. Let me tell you the story about that. Your sister has cancer? Oh, that's so bad. I remember when my mom had cancer and we had to walk through that. Your friend was killed by a drunk driver. Your parents got divorced." When we share our stories, we find that we have a million more similarities than we do differences. We're all stumbling together as we do our best to walk out this path that God set before us, but we need each other. We need the right people in your life to share your pain so that you can heal together, so you can pass the salt. We've got to learn how to pass the salt. And that's what the woman in our Bible story did. This woman, she shared her pain. She poured it all over Jesus. She cried and she wept at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus was there for it. He was there for her. And listen to me. There are those of you here today. You're going through some serious pain. And Jesus is here for you. He wants to bring you healing and peace, just like he did to the woman in her story. God wants to heal your pain. He's here for you right now. The Bible says that he's close to the brokenhearted and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. He's here for you today. And scripture tells us very clearly that one day he will wipe away all of those tears from our eyes, and there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. And we will experience only his goodness. And so here's the thing. Until we get to heaven, there will be pain. There will be hurt. But you don't have to hurt alone. God wants you to be in community with others. Together. That'll help us in our healing as we heal. That'll help you share your pain, to carry each other's burdens as you pass the salt. And so here's the thing. As you learn to gain perspective, not only do we just pass the salt, but you can taste the difference. You can taste the difference. Now, hash browns and eggs by themselves, together, create a full meal. But I'm a man, and there's nothing greater in life as a man than to eat meat. It's like the centerpiece of the best thing that can happen in your day. So So I'm going to add some Italian sausage in here. When I make pan scramble, I put anything that's in the fridge in there. Like I've done taco hamburger, I've done leftover lasagna, and you just kind of pull the noodles out and put the rest in there. I've done whatever pulled pork left in the fridge. You just stick it in your pan and you cook it up. Push the button, there we go. So we'll mix this up a bit. And we'll let it cook. Can you smell it yet? I'm going to add a few more spices because I didn't have enough before. Must look like a lot from there because you're all smiling at me. It really isn't. Okay, as that simmers a little longer, first you pass the salt, and then you find my spot in my notes. Then as you gain perspective, you taste the difference. Look, it's good to have people in your life that are like you, right? The people that are in the same stage of life. If you're married with kids, then they're married with kids, and you just have this connection. Or you're single, and it's good to have people who are similar to you. You connect well with other single people. Life is better, though, when you mix it up. Life is better when you bring in some other people around you that are a little bit different than you. So today we're going to add some Italian into our meal and put these sausages in here. We're going to add something that's a little different. I love to try food from all over the world. And sometimes I dream, if I could go anywhere in the world, what food would I try? Right now my favorite is Southeast Asia, like Vietnamese food or Thai food. Like, whatever they put on their fish that has that sweet soy sauce peanut thing, I don't know what it is, but it's incredible. And I love to try different foods from different places in the world. And when you involve people in your life that are different than you, it makes your life better. It makes your life stronger. It's one of the main reasons why we do things in church like Sunday Fun Day. Like, we give a chance for the whole family, from right to the youngest to the oldest, to experience what learning in Christ together is like. It's an opportunity for our little ones, the kids, to learn from those in the family who are experienced and have done this a long time. It's a chance for the new believers to hear things in a different way. And the ones like me who have been in the church forever, we get to hear the same simple story and get reminded of the truth that God is so simple in his calling and yet so deep in where he wants to lead us. That combination, the extra spice in our life, the different ingredients that we put in our pan scramble, it gives us that different perspective. And when you look at the world around us right now, in this time, this season, the current temperature of society, it tells us that if you're different than me, then there's something wrong. If you're different, then you're a threat. If you don't agree with me, then you must be against me. If you don't support me, then you must hate me. And in the body of Christ, in the church family, that's not true. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And as Christ followers, we're called to embrace each other. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says it this way. Peter tells us, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude." It's good to taste the difference, to gain perspective, to do life with others who look, live, and think differently than you. And in the body of Christ, these differences, they don't equal division. Differences equal strength. And when you do life with others who are different, you gain perspective. You gain understanding and sympathy and empathy. And your life becomes better. Just like our breakfast meal. Back in our Bible story, Luke 7, verse 47, Jesus brings revelation to this man. This Pharisee, he sees things from a certain way. There are rules, and if I do the rules right, I'll be acceptable by God. But Jesus brings perspective to him. He explains to him why this woman is literally pouring out her praise. And then the Pharisee realizes, oh, I get it. She has been forgiven of a lot. Your perspective shifts. It changes. Your life is better when you have other people around you, people that look differently than you. And now more than ever in our divided world, we need a united church. We're meant to be united. We're meant to do life with each other. And see, our lives are better when we do life with other Christ followers who are different than us. John 13:35 says it this way. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. It's one of my favorite Bible verses. The proof that we are Jesus followers is the way that we love one another. And when you find that group of people, you pass the salt. You share your pain. We heal together. And then you taste the difference. Perspective matters. It changes. And finally, you learn to savor the flavor. I think it's time to put our eggs in the meal. Now, this is not my normal everyday breakfast, but I do tend to eat this once a week. And when we go camping, everybody gets excited about it because, well, Mom doesn't have to cook. And the rest of them get to just taste something amazing. So when I make it, I mix the eggs in there. Mix them a lot. And it's important to get the right ratio of eggs to potatoes. Because if you don't have enough eggs, it just tastes like potatoes. So I'm going to put all four eggs in here. Whoever's getting this for lunch, Caitlin's been begging for it. They're going to love it. So there's four eggs. Four eggs, one Italian sausage, a whole bunch of spices. When Pastor Wayne was with us, before he moved away to the Lower Mainland, he and I met every Thursday morning. And I made him breakfast. 7 o'clock in the morning we would meet. Thoroughly mixed up. And one more time, we let it sit. Breakfast is almost ready. We pass the salt, we taste the difference, and then we learn to savor the flavor. There's the three ingredients for this. The first one is when you're meeting with other Christ followers, then you're breaking bread together in the presence of Jesus. You begin to experience the peace that he gives, the peace that tastes so good. When you're longing for something in chaos and division, and you get that moment of peace. This is what Scripture says, Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The world around us wants to worry. They want us to live in fear and doubt and to live consistently stressed out, freaked out. The enemy wants you to stay hidden, to stay isolated, to be separated from other believers, to go on this journey alone, because when you're alone, you're easy prey. He's telling you if you open up, if you share in those difficult places, if you are really being authentic, then they'll just judge you. But here's the thing. When you share your pain, you'll get perspective. And in the context of these godly relationships, what happens is the storms of life come. And as much as the wind blows and maybe the shingles get torn off, what happens is you can weather the storm. You can experience peace, a peace that passes understanding. Jesus says it in this way, John 14:27. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, this is what happened in our Bible story today. This woman, she She shared her pain. The Pharisee, he gained perspective. And then Jesus looks at them and says, "Go in peace." In this story, there are three different characters, and I believe we can relate to each of them in some way. Maybe it's like the Pharisee, where I thought I had it all together. I thought I was doing what was right. I thought I was obeying God, and in my perspective, it's changed. It's not about what I do. It's about who he is. Maybe it's like this sinful woman. Oh, you know what? You've messed up, and everyone knows your stuff. Everyone knows what's going on. Pastor Danny always gets excited about the crispy bottom. But even though everyone knows your stuff, you've now realized that you desperately need Jesus. And you see the answer to both of these drastically different personalities. The answer is community. Communion. It's you and me and Jesus. Community is the key for some of you. Something happens that's special when you come and you worship together with Jesus in his presence. God does something when we raise our voices. He brings us peace. In our church, we want it to be a safe place that regularly welcomes Pharisees and big-time sinners. We've got a sign on the front that says, "Everyone's welcome." Because the reality is, we're all broken. Some of us just mask it a little better. We worship together in the presence of Jesus. And through that worship, through that unity of chasing after him, being filled with the Spirit, he brings us peace. Now listen, today God told me to come and make you hungry. I hope you can smell that. I hope you're hungry. I don't want you to just be hungry for food. I want you to be hungry for community. I want you to be hungry for more of Jesus. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come." Jesus has come. That's enough right there. Jesus has come. But he has come that we may have life and life to the full. You see, we're better together. And I know sometimes in life the experiences we have don't always feel that way. In the midst of chaos and conflict, sometimes even with our most loved ones, we need to remember we're different. So would you pass the salt? Can we taste the difference? Can we savor the flavor? And in order to experience that fullness of life, a life that God has for us, the truth is all we need is you and me and Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much. I see the world. I talk to my neighbors. I look out the window, and I see the destruction, the desolation, the isolation. God, the statistics of marriages are just crazy. the number of kids in poverty because they don't have stable homes. It's insane. The lifestyle that drugs and alcohol bring, the addictions, that division, God, it is so big. And so here we are thankful for you, that all of those things that would lead us in those directions are now given a second option, a different chance, a new beginning. God, we thank you that you came. We shared that with juice and bread today. God, we thank you that you died for us. You are the bread of life. And as we smell the smells of breakfast cooking and our hunger because as lunchtime comes out, God, may we hunger in the same way for community and communion with each other and with you. Would you give us the supernatural ability to be different than the world? That through the midst of all the things going around us, we can get past that and we can rest in you. We can love each other and we can be the real family that you've called us to be. And that can only happen because of you. You unite us, you bring us together. So as we break off to pray for each other, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, three in one, would you be in us? In your name, amen. Amen. Amy, if you could throw it up on the screen. If you could spend a few minutes praying together, we want to take this as altar ministry, to just be in God's presence and to do what we've just learned, to practice togetherness. And I've thrown a verse up there. I don't know if you know how to pray with this way, but I'm sure there are people in your group that do. Break into your groups together and pray through this verse. Just pray it out loud and use it as a jumping point to honor Jesus with the conversation. And with all of that, I would love to see you next week as we do this all again.